You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to be with Chris Taylor. He is a structural geologist and economic geologist and a mining entrepreneur. Over 20 years of experience. He's been on this show a number of times in the past to talk about one of the biggest success stories in the exploration sector in the last number of years, and that's with Great Bear Resources and really their Dixie project in Ontario in the Red Lake District. Really a great story. One that, this was a stock that was on a tear during 2019. It was just really as hot as could be from, I think, 46 cents or something like that. We picked it up in our newsletter, and it ran upwards towards $20 in Canadian money anyway. And then it's fallen back and sort of gone sideways for a while, even though the company's been on a very aggressive drill program, and it's one of the more one of the more spectacular discoveries in certainly in the last 10 years or so. Chris, I'm really glad that you could join me today. Thanks.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, Jay. I hope you still get congratulatory emails for your subscribers that listened to you when you made the first recommendation on Great Bear.
Well, the congratulations go to you, Chris, and those people that made it happen. So, I give Gwen Preston credit more than myself because she's the one I first learned about it from. You know, credit always has to be multiple because there's so many people that make it happen, as you know, but nobody has been more key to the success at Dixie Lake, I would dare say. Although you're a pretty humble guy, you'll probably certainly give credit to others where credit is due as well. But it does take a lot of people to find a deposit and to bring it into the stage where it is now. Really, a very developed project, but let's get into what you're doing. I guess, first of all, we should just, for people that might not be familiar with the story, GBR, it trades in Toronto under that symbol, GBR. You can buy it down here in the States under GTBAF, as I have. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I think you have about 56.2 million shares out. And earlier today, I saw it at around $14. I haven't looked at it in the last couple of hours. The market's been pretty hot. But $14 or $15 in Canadian money, I suppose, giving you a market cap around $800 million in Canadian money. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's about right. It's certainly come a long way from a few years ago when we first had some of these conversations.
Yeah, it sure has. And so let's talk about what you're doing here. Refresh our memories, the memories of some people, and maybe some people that have not followed your story, but now's a good time to do it because the stock has been treading sideways, but you have an awful lot going on yet. But just talk to our listeners a little bit about the dimensions of the Dixie gold discovery along the LP fault structure anyway, because that's the main focus. You do have something else that's very exciting too, but the LP fault structure, which is, I think of it as a tier one gold discovery. But can you talk to us a little bit about the dimensions of the Dixie, the grades that you're seeing, and how it might compare to some of the other comparably sized projects in Canada, like Detour Lake and Malartic, and the Malartic project,
yeah,
for
no
example?
Problem. Yeah, I'm happy to, Jay. It's the Dixie project is located in the Red Lake area of Ontario, so it's not actually far from the U.S. border. You can probably drive there in about 4 or 5 hours just by heading north, as is usual with Americans headed to Canada. But the Red Lake area, it's known as the high-grade capital of Canada. So one of the most profitable gold mines in the world for probably a better part of a decade was the Red Lake gold mine that was operated by Goldcorp. And we made this discovery, the LP fault discovery at Dixie, about 2 years, not even 2 years ago. Somewhere around about 20 months ago, we put the first drill hole into it. And what we found is a big structure that goes right through the crust, down to the base of the crust. And roughly a couple billion years ago, this would have been a major focus of gold mineralization. So we've now got on the project over 400 drill holes all of which have hit gold into the LP fault and the adjacent zones collectively. And it's amazing to think that for a target that in nobody's mind didn't even exist 2 years ago, now we're looking at something that is 4 to 5 kilometers long, where every drill hole hits gold. And we've got drilling now from surface, gold right at surface, down to about 400 to 500 meters depth. And we just keep seeing predictable geology, predictable gold mineralization, really nice grades. Like, it's incredible to think that sitting just a few meters below this thin kind of gravel cover, you have this spine of high-grade gold, and that's often in 10 grams, 20 grams, sometimes up to several hundred grams, and it's surrounded by these wide envelopes, sometimes 50 meters, 100 meters, even 200 or 300 meters wide, of this lower-grade sort of bulk tonnage mineralization around that. So the dimensionality to your question is similar in size to the two biggest gold mines in Canada. One of them is Canadian Malartic, and one of them is Detour Lake, and those are both big low-grade deposits. They both transacted for $3 to $4 billion Canadian worth of value, and but they didn't have the high-grade distribution that we're looking at here at Dixie, and that's what really makes our discovery so interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm somewhat familiar with both of those deposits, the Canadian Malartic as well as the Detour, and I don't remember ever seeing the kind of spectacular grades that you've reported. So, that's why I think the market maybe isn't fully understanding what you have there yet. I think that once you come out with a resource and people start to see the grades along with these incredibly bulk mineable widths, that the market's going to start to look at you differently. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think the market is used to evaluating normal gold discoveries, and usually, especially if it's high grade, usually a body will be 100 meters to 200, maybe 300 meters long, a few meters wide, 3 meters wide, 5 meters wide, and it's just a small volume. Whereas what we're drilling here is kilometers in length, and there's satellite deposits beside that too. So what you need to do is think about that sort of tier one categorization that you mentioned earlier. And the thing about tier one mines, they're big mines. They produce gold for many, many years, and they do it at low cost. And there's only, of all the gold mines in the world, there's hundreds of gold mines in the world, as we know, but there's only somewhere between 15 and 30 tier one mines really around the planet. And, you know, that's what really, what we're really looking at here at the Dixie Project, our discovery, is it's in terms of the dimensions and the gold content and the fact that it all goes right to surface, right beside a highway, right beside a power line, and about a 15-minute drive from the nearest big mine. Those factors all together lead you to think that it could be one of these big tier one deposits. And those aren't worth a few hundred million dollars. Those are worth generally billions and billions of dollars. And they form the cornerstones of global gold production. So if Great Bear, as a relatively small new company, has indeed found a tier one deposit, the valuation metrics here are very different from what people are used to seeing in the market. And that's why it takes a couple of years to define what you have, because the volume is so big. And the valuation, it takes a bit of education. And once you're getting through that initial resource publication, which we expect in the relatively near term, then you've got, as we say, the proof in the pudding. You have the numbers out that show that sort of tier one potential or that tier one status. And that's where I think investors, not traders, but investors, really have an opportunity to take advantage of something.
Right. The investors, the people that look at value long term. And, I mean, if you're looking at Detour Lake and Canadian Malartic that went $3 to $4 billion without, you know, without that sort of high-grade sweetener near the surface, all these things that you just mentioned, against a market cap that's around $800 million now or something like that, certainly you certainly would suggest there's a lot. Now, I know you're doing a lot of aggressive drilling. You just stepped up your drill program. You just raised some more money. Talk to us about your drill program this year and its objectives and what you're hoping to accomplish, and how soon might we expect to see your maiden resource?
Yeah, that's a great question. Now, we just completed a $70 million Canadian raise, and that gives us about $100 million in the bank, which is enough money for, say, two solid years of very, very aggressive drilling and resource construction. So what we're expecting to see is this year a minimum of over 200 drill holes. It could be 200 to 300 drill holes that are going to be completed on the project. By the time that's done, there'll be somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 or 700 drill holes on the project, and that should give us enough information to define that Tier 1 type resource that we expect to see, but certainly to provide that maiden resource to the market. And I think that's going to come either around the end of this year or the beginning of next year. I don't have the exact timing because the results inform the drill plans, but that's what it's looking like to us, is that about a year from now, you'll have that proof, that maiden resource number public, and people will see that Tier 1 type status if what we're thinking is correct.
Yeah, and do you expect the maiden resource to be over that 4 to 5 kilometer strike length, or will it be confined to the sort of the center of that?
I think what we'll see is, I guess the way the analogy I'd use is the tip of the iceberg analogy. So what we have in this area in a lot of big gold deposits of this type is many kilometers vertically of extent. So from the surface down to well over a mile depth, you would have gold mineralization developed. I think, based on what we're seeing, and this is what the analysts that cover Great Bear think as well, so we can point to them, is that even between just the surface and somewhere down to 300 or 400 meters depth, so really just scratching the surface, I think defining the mineralization along, say, about 4 kilometers of strike length at the LP fault and the same sort of shallow depth on the adjacent Dixie Lim and Inge zones, I think that way we're going to have something that really looks like one of these Tier 1 type resources. And the upside will be all the additional gold mineralization present below that. So when we come out with that resource number, we'll already have done deeper drilling because we've already done it on two of our three big zones. And in that way, you'll see whatever the number is, you'll multiply it in your head by 2X or 3X, whatever the case is, and it will show you that upside long-term potential on the project.
Well, I think that's when investors might start to see the share price appreciate a bit from where it's been. I have to ask you about, you've added a new chairman to your company, and I think maybe you just talk about that a little bit, because he's a very impressive, he's a very impressive background.
Yeah, Mike Kenyon joined us in June of last year, and Mike has been involved in, until recently, he was the CEO of Detour Gold. So he's been involved in a number of big projects, like big mine builds all over the world, and big project sales to major mining companies. And Mike is somebody that's probably sold about, I think, collectively more than $4 to $5 billion worth of mines to these big producers. So his guidance in Great Bear has been invaluable. And it's really a reflection, like with Mike and with some of the investors that are now joining the Great Bear shareholder registry through the last placement, what we're seeing is, like, really there's two strategies you can build a company around. One of them is to bring all the people in up front really early on, and that way, you know, from a share price perspective, they're invested at $1 or $2, and they're probably out of the story by, you know, $4 or $5. Or you can do like Great Bear did, keep the share count low, have your success early on and spend money carefully, and then you bring in these qualified people, and you bring in, like, the last placement, we had 14 different sophisticated institutional investors initiating positions in Great Bear. And if they initiate their shareholdings and they initiate their participation at a level of something like $12, $14, $15, then the upside is typically, you know, what they're looking for is they're looking for the returns on top of that. So it's a very different philosophy from how most companies are built. But I look forward to adding more talent and more of these sort of sophisticated, large institutional gold investors over time. I think that's very beneficial and supportive of growth in share value for our investors.
Yeah, indeed. It sounds great. Just one, we're really out of time now, but I wanted to ask you about the royalty spinoff. Is that something we're going to hear more about sometime soon?
Yeah, I would imagine, Jay, you're going to see some announcements in the fairly near future, and likely there'll be something before too long. And I think, you know, the objective there is to get that as a publicly trading listed company. And anybody that receives spin-out shares, you know, from Great Bear as part of that spin-out process a few months back, they should be looking at those carefully in the near future.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it. Chris, I want to thank you so much for spending the time with us, because this is a really great story. A lot of people not paying a lot of attention to it right now, but I think that they might want to start doing so again. So thank you for being with us, and we'll look to keep up with you going forward for sure. All right, folks, so we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. Alistair MacLeod will be with me right after the break. We come back, and he's going to talk about gold as money and why it's inevitable. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Alistair MacLeod.
Voice America is available on your Google connected device.
Okay, Google, play Turning Hard Times into Good Times podcast on iHeartRadio.
Try it today.
Great Bear Resources, trading under GBR on the TSXV and GTBAF on the OTCQX, is a gold exploration company focused on their district-scale Dixie Project in the renowned Red Lake Mining District of Ontario. Having made multiple high-grade near-surface gold discoveries, GBR's capital efficiency has allowed them to be fully funded to complete a very active 300,000-meter drill program through 2021. Stay up to date on what's been considered one of the best-performing exploration stocks in the last 3 years by visiting greatbearresources.ca.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.